Good morning. I hope if you are watching this, it is because you are not able to join our Easter morning Zoom worship at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Or if you're watching it, it means something went terribly wrong with the Zoom call, and so you went back to the original order of worship to watch it. Or maybe you're watching it because you just couldn't wait until Sunday to watch it. But either way, I'm glad to be with you. And either way, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Well, this is not what I imagined when I booked this preaching slot 3 months ago. I had just come back from a 10-day learning tour in Guatemala, where I had heard this wonderful poem by Julia Esquivel called "They Have Threatened Us with Resurrection." It was about Guatemala during the 30 years of civil war. And I was inspired and heartbroken by the stories we heard, and I wanted to bring this poem back and incorporate it somehow, to share about how 30 years of being threatened with death had shaped the people of Guatemala, and how Christianity in the U.S. is just different, because most of us here do not live with the constant threat of death, and so our theology has not been formed by the desperate embodied hope of resurrection. The words of this poem end, "Join us in this vigil, and you will know what it is to dream. Then you will know how marvelous it is to live threatened with resurrection, to dream awake, to keep watch asleep, to live while dying, and to know ourselves already resurrected." To live while dying and know ourselves already resurrected. So I was prepared to come home and preach about how the Christians of Guatemala have something to teach us here in the United States about living as people of the resurrection. And then things changed a little. Things changed a lot, actually. Our perspective has shifted. Most of us understand now the precariousness of life. More of us understand that death can come anytime, that we are not as invulnerable as we thought, that our lives, our work, our habits, our families, all of them are at the mercy of something much bigger. We may not yet know how to live threatened with resurrection, but we are beginning to learn. We are beginning to understand how little is in our control. Now, coronavirus is not the same as a state-sponsored genocide, obviously. And most of us in this congregation have the resources to be able to stay at home and make masks and stay as healthy as possible. But we are beginning to understand what it's like to feel afraid and helpless and to know that death may come for us sooner than we expected. We are learning what it is to feel overwhelmed and uncertain as information keeps changing, as the ground beneath us shifts and the things we thought we knew are no longer true. This is a time of disorientation. And we do not know how long it will go on. The things we are used to relying on, hugs and meals with friends and our faith community gathered together, the rituals we do corporately, all of these things that help us in crisis can no longer sustain us, at least not in the ways we are used to. So what can we cling to? Where is the solid ground? As a pastor preaching on Easter, I think the obvious answer is Jesus. Jesus is what we cling to. The story of new life and resurrection. The story of death being defeated and Christ rising from the grave. As we hear the news of death and disease, we proclaim there is another reality. The good news is resurrection. Right? It is. It is, obviously. But it's more complicated than that. Every year, Easter marks the end of Lent. The end of the hard things that we gave up. We can start eating chocolate, or drinking, or shopping, or whatever bad habits we tried and failed to give up. This year, though, Easter marks the end of Lent, but not the end of the hard stuff. We have to keep physically distancing. We can't meet together. We're still trapped in our homes with our children, or without our children or grandchildren. And that is hard. And it feels like a crucial part of Easter is missing. But it occurs to me that this is how Easter comes every year. Our lives and all the hard stuff always continues. Before and after Easter, we still grieve the loss of parents and children and spouses. Every year, we carry our Lenten griefs and burdens into Easter. This year, in that way, is no different. We do not celebrate the resurrection because it is a fix-all. It is not. It doesn't undo the violence and despair that preceded it. Christ still bears the wounds of the cross. Easter is never the destination or the ending. It's only a landmark on the journey. And it's a landmark that we circle back to every year and tell the story year after year because it is a powerful and life-changing story. It orients us on our path, and it tells us that death is not the end. But it doesn't tell us that scars disappear, or that pain is magically gone, or that the places hollowed out inside of us from grief will be filled. That is not Easter thinking. That is wishful thinking. The promise of Easter is resurrection, and there is no resurrection without the grave. To be Easter people, to be resurrection people, is to know that death is excruciating. And still, like Mary Magdalene, we are compelled to return to the tomb. When we face despair, when we tend it and hold it gently, incredibly, what we find is that death has been transformed into new life. And this is a mystery. How can it be true that death still exists and death has lost its sting? How can we proclaim the power of the risen Christ when over 100,000 people have died of COVID-19? This is the Easter mystery. It is what allows us in the face of contrary evidence to declare that goodness is stronger than evil, life is stronger than death. And that when Christ willingly gave his life in love, he changed the story. He changed the narrative that power and violence and self-interest are the only currencies that matter. And his refusal to participate in a death-dealing system, in that he lost his life. We tell this story every year because it has power. It has power to change systems. In Guatemala, thousands of people lost their lives. People who stood up against a death-dealing system. People who knew that resurrection meant freedom for all people, even if it meant dying. And it required the courage and strength of many people. People who believed that change was possible, that hope was not naive, that love cannot be destroyed through death. But we cannot do it alone. Julia Esquivel's poem again. In this marathon of hope, there are always others to relieve us, who carry the strength to reach the finish line which lies beyond death. They have threatened us with resurrection because they will not be able to take away from us their bodies, their souls, their strength, their spirit, not even their death, and least of all their life. Because they live today, tomorrow, and always. Friends, in this time of uncertainty, we can gather together in spirit and proclaim the same powerful story of love together. The story of a man whose boundless love so threatened authorities that he was put to death. The story of resurrection, witnessed by those who loved him best and refused to turn away from the pain. May we, in telling these stories again, in these strange times, be strengthened by those who have gone before us, who have lived and died as people of the resurrection. Amen.